On sermon tonight, guard your heart. Fairly long passage, Matthew 15, 1 through 20. Matthew 15, 1 through 20. Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, "Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? They don't wash their hands before they eat." Jesus replied, "And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition? For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' and anyone who curses their father or mother is to be put to death. But you say that if anyone declares that what might have been used to help their father or mother is devoted to God, they are not to honor their father or mother with it. Thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites! Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules." Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand, what goes into someone's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that is what defiles them." Then the disciples came to him and asked, "Do you not know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this?" He replied, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be pulled up by its roots. Leave them. They are blind guides. If the blind lead the blind, both will fall into a pit." Peter said, "Explain the parable to us. Are you still so dull?" Jesus just getting real tonight. Jesus asked them, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of a person's mouth come from the heart. And these defile them. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what defile a person. But eating with unwashed hands does not defile them." Father, help us to hear from you tonight. Help us to hear and be doers of the word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How to guard your heart. Solomon in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23, Solomon said, "Above all else, guard your heart." Above all else. If you don't do anything else, do this, Solomon says. Guard your heart. Why should we do this? Well, Solomon says, for everything you do flows from it. From it flow the springs of life. So guard your heart, because everything that you do will come from if your heart is good or if your heart is bad. So you have to guard your heart. So number one, everything we do originates within the heart. Guard the heart. Everything we do originates within. These religious leaders came to Jesus to challenge Jesus, to drive a wedge between Jesus and the crowd, trying to trick him, trying to put him on the spot, trying to ruin his name, trying to ruin his reputation so that they could have him arrested when he gives the wrong answer, so that there would be no blowback from the crowd. So they would come up with these well-thought-out, crafty trick questions to put Jesus on the spot. "Jesus, why don't your disciples keep the tradition and wash their hands?" I mean, didn't their mama teach them to wash their hands? What's wrong with them? Referring to these tradition of ceremonial washings, a very kosher society, they would have these washings to stay ritually clean. Now, it wasn't in the law for the disciples to wash their hands. The law said that priests, before sacrifices and different things, had to wash their hands and had to do these ceremonial washings. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law had come up with this tradition. And, you know, it's good enough for the priests, it's good enough for us. So everybody has to wash their hands so you can look pious and holy and make sure, just make sure that you're kosher and ceremonially clean. They elevated this tradition to a law. This tradition that they came up with on their own, they basically had made it a law. And they just made it up. But Jesus comes right back at them and says, you accuse me of breaking a tradition that is not a command of God, that is not a law of God, but I accuse you of breaking a command of God to keep you up with your traditions. I accuse you of breaking a command to keep your made-up traditions. See, there were some things in the law that these Pharisees and the teachers of the law did not like, and they did not want to keep. So they were smart, and they were crafty. So they came up with a tradition so that they could break the law, so that they could break the commands of God. And one of the laws they did not like was a biggie. It was one of the top 10. It was honor your father and mother. Now, we tend to think of this as children. Children, honor your father and mother. Mainly, it was talking to adults. It was talking to children, but talking to adults. Adults, honor your aged parents. Honor your father and mother. And they didn't want to do this because mom and dad were getting a little bit older, and they had to help take care of them. And it was hitting their pocketbooks, and they did not like this. So what they did, Jesus says, you have declared the things that belong to God, that I don't have to use them to honor my parents. So they have had this tradition where they came up with a rule, a tradition that says, if you declare something belongs to God, then you don't have to use that to honor your parents. So they came up with a rule. You could go to the temple and you could verbally say, according to this tradition, everything I own belongs to God. Everything I own belongs to the temple. That was the tradition they came up with. They had a little caveat in this tradition. You could use the things that you declared to God and declared to the temple up until the time you died. So you could support yourself and your immediate family as long as you lived. And then when you died, everything you had left over went to God, went to the temple. They were Pharisees. So no giving while we're living. No giving while we're living. They come up with the tradition, they come up with the rule to keep them from being generous. Someone would come up to them and ask for something, alms for the poor. And they go, whoop, sorry, everything I've owned, I've already dedicated to God. Their aged parents depended on them, depended on their children for survival in that society. There was no Social Security. There was no Medicaid and Medicare. You were on your own. And you had to have your children help you as you aged. But they didn't want to do this, so they come up with their tradition. Their hearts within were evil. Even though on the outside they were ceremonially clean, and they went before then the temple saying, everything I own I declare for God's use. So Jesus calls them out. Jesus calls them hypocrites. When Jesus calls you a hypocrite, the conversation is over. When he gets to that point, and even as we read it tonight, you could hear Jesus was a little bit on edge. He was just frustrated with them. He told them, you nullify God's law for your evil tradition. And they went away like whipped pups. I'm like, who came up with that question? Who was that? Who? I thought you said it was a good question. Well, he's going to trap him in that. And he ends up trapping us. Even you quotes Isaiah on us and uses Isaiah against us. And then he calls us hypocrites. So they went away defeated. Number two. It's what comes out of your heart that defiles us. Or makes us right, if you will. It is what comes out of our heart that defiles us. Jesus calls the crowd and he says, listen and understand. Listen and learn. What goes into someone's mouth, unclean hands, kosher food, unkosher food, doesn't defile them. And everyone in the crowd, all those Jewish people went, what are you talking about? In a kosher society, which they were, saying what food you put in your mouth and whether your hands were clean or not doesn't defile you before God was a brand new idea. They never heard it before. This is crazy. This is like the first time someone told you you could wear makeup. You go, whoa, whoa, whoa. Or someone told you you could play cards. Oh, no, no. Or go to a movie. Oh, me. You remember that? You remember the first time you went to a movie? I don't know if some of you might not have done it yet. You felt like you were sinning. You're looking for your parents over your shoulder. And you were 65 years old and your parents have been dead for 12 years. This law-abiding Jewish man, Jesus, rabbi, was bringing something new, brand new, something better. He was leaving a few breadcrumbs for the crowd and his disciples to follow, saying the new covenant is coming and the new covenant is here in me. What you put in your mouth doesn't defile you. What comes out of your mouth does. What is in here will come out here, and that defiles you. What goes in here doesn't go in here. It doesn't defile you. What comes out of here is words and actions that end up defiling us because they end up offending and hurting other people. So it turns out God is more upset by what we say and what we do to others than by what we eat and if our hands are washed. And this was brand new. So the disciples, Peter being the spokesman, Peter comes up to him and says, this is brand new to the disciples too. This was crazy. They're all good Jewish boys. And Peter comes up like, you know, Jesus, I understood what you were saying, but the other 11, they're not as quick as I am. So would you just explain it one more time for them, not for me, for them, what was going on, what you're talking about? And Jesus says, are you still so dull? He sees through Peter. Are you still so dull? All right, one more time, this is what's going on. What you eat with clean hands or unclean hands goes into your mouth. And from there, it goes down to your stomach. You got it? You got it? Yeah, we're on the same board. And from your stomach, it goes out of your body. You understand that? Yeah, we all understand that. All right, Jesus, move on to the next topic. We understand it. But the things that come out from your mouth, they come from the heart. And that's what defiles us. It's not what goes in, but what comes out. It's not what goes in, but what comes out. Words that offend, actions that abuse others is what defiles us before God. Their number one rule is you keep God happy. That was priority one, keep God happy. And the way you kept God happy was by being kosher, by following the law, by these ceremonial washings, and by the things that you put in your mouth and you ate. But Jesus says, no, it is what comes out, not what goes in, that defiles a person. It is these behaviors that come out of our heart, and he lists some behaviors here, that defile a person. The things that come out of your heart are evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. Those are what defile a person, but eating with unwashed hands does not defile them. These things hurt others. False testimony, slander, murder, that hurts others, right? Those things that hurt others hurt God. Our behavior, the things we do, will mirror our hearts, and our hearts show up in our behavior. We do things, go, oh, that's not me. Well, it was you. Because our hearts are revealed by our behavior. So we must guard our hearts. We must guard our hearts. And I'm going to give you some ways. These last points will be quicker than the first two. That was the story telling the story. So I'm going to give you some ways to guard our hearts. Number three, four emotions that should ding our conscience, that should set off an alarm, that should ring a bell, that should say, hey, something's wrong here. You need to guard your heart. When you see these four emotions, and I'm just giving you four tonight, four emotions, when we see these, it is a warning. It's a red light. It's a ding. It's an alarm to guard your heart. When we feel these things, when we experience these emotions, we have work to do. Don't wait to act. Act now when you experience the emotions before something bad happens. Don't deal with these things when the bad thing does happen or it gets worse, because by then it may be too late and it will be a bigger mess. I'm giving you the four emotions. A, guilt. Guilt says, I owe you. When you experience the emotion of guilt, guilt is saying, I owe you. That guilt is telling me that I've taken something from you. I feel guilty because I've taken your reputation. I've taken your pride. I've taken your purity. I've taken something that belongs to you. And now I'm feeling guilty about it. It may be something physical you took from somebody, but most of the time it's their reputation. It's part of their person that you took. So in the words you said, and now you feel guilty. I feel guilty. I took something from you. You may not know about it, but this feeling says, I owe you something. The feeling of guilt says, I owe somebody else something. Every time you feel that feeling of guilt, I owe that person something. I owe them more respect than I gave them. And if we feel these feelings of guilt, it will lead to walls, it will lead to hiding, it will lead to dishonesty, it will lead to secrets, it will lead to distance in marriages, in families, in churches. When we feel this guilt and we don't guard our heart and we don't do something about it, it gets worse and worse and worse, and we end up, you have the same conversation over and over again. What's wrong? Nothing. What's wrong? You're always this way. You're always this way. What's wrong? What's wrong? But we were hiding behind our guilt. We didn't guard our hearts. B, anger. Anger says, you owe me. Anger says, you owe me. Guilt says, I owe you. But anger says, you owe me. I'm angry because you took something from me. You took something. You took my dignity. You took my self-respect. You took part of my pride. Whatever it was. It may actually, you physically took something from me. You borrowed something and didn't give it back. So now you owe me and I'm angry. And you're either going to pay me back or I'm going to pay you back. and become angry people. See, anger leaks. We try to keep it contained, but it leaks. Anger will leak into other relationships. You don't just become angry at the one person who hurt you or who took something from you. We just become angry people. And this person hurt me, but now I become angry, and now it's in my marriage and in my relationship with my kids and my friends, and I just become an angry person. See, greed. When you experience this emotion of greed, greed says, I owe me. Greed says, when you have this emotion of greed, I owe me. I deserve this. I need the upgrade. I can't help anybody else because I got so much on my plate and I got so many things I've got to do. I got to take care of me. Greed is the assumption that it is all for my consumption. Greed is the assumption that it is all for my consumption. I know that there are people in need, and you asked, but I can't help you now. Because I got to, I owe me. My heart goes out to those people in need, but my money doesn't, because I owe me. I feel sorry for them, but not sorry enough to write a check. And everybody in our lives close to us can start competing with our stuff, whether we have nice stuff or not. It's nice to you. It might be nice, but it's just nice to you, and you like it, and you lock it up, and, oh, don't touch that, don't touch that. It's just greed. Eventually, the things that we love and that everybody's competing with our stuff, when we go on to our great reward, we leave this stuff behind. And we leave it to the people that were competing with our stuff. And you know what they do with it? They fight over it or they sell it. Because they didn't care anything about your stuff. It just represents a bad memory of them competing with your stuff. Have a yard sale. There you go. D, the fourth emotion. When you see this emotion, you need to guard your heart. D, jealousy. Jealousy says life owes me. Jealousy says God owes me. Jealousy says life owes me. Jealousy says God owes me. She or he got what I deserve. She or he got who I deserve. I want what they have. I want the love they have. I want the reputation they have. I want the promotion they got. I want the recognition they got. So I secretly wish harm upon them, and I'm glad when something bad happens to them. Because jealousy says, life and God owes me. When we see these emotions, when you feel these emotions, we got to do something, or they will lead to worse things. They will lead to those actions that Jesus talked about in verse 19. These emotions unchecked from our heart, that's what leads to the theft and the slander and the murder and the sexual immorality. I owe me. You know, I can flirt a little bit if I want to because I owe me. I can do what I want. I owe me. And I'm jealous, so I'll slander that person. Because life owes me and God owes me and they got what I want. So these emotions lead to those actions that Jesus talked about in verse 19. So how do we guard our hearts? The last four here are the ways we guard our hearts from these emotions. When we experience guilt, when you have that emotion of guilt, we confess. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We confess. And not just to God. Because that's sometimes the easy part. Because God already knows. It's the person that we are have the guilty feeling towards that doesn't know. So we confess to the person that we hurt. And sometimes that's not easy. And if we confess to the person that we've hurt, that we owe, it may damage the relationship for a while. It may do some serious damage to the relationship. But in the long run, it will bring healing. Even if the relationship can't be completely healed the way it was, it will bring healing to your soul personally and their soul personally. If things stay unconfessed, we stay in a safe place for a while. I can't confess because it'll mess everything up, and I'm going to stay safe. And you will. You'll stay safe for a while. But we're just damaging our soul day after day in the long run, because guilt will eat away at us on the inside, so we have to confess. When you confess, there will be chaos around you for a time, but it will get better over time. And we confess, there will be a peace beginning on the inside, because we're saying, guilt, you will not have this power over me anymore. I am guarding my heart. Number five, when we experience anger, what do you think we do? We already confessed. Somebody owes me. They took something from me. So now what do I got to do? Forgive. Explode. No, that's the wrong answer. Actually, you might need to explode to someone to get it under control. And then you forgive. You identify what specifically was taken from you. They took something from you. Don't just say, I'm mad at mom. What did mom take from you? What did she take from you? And when you figure that out, decide you're going to forgive them and say, you don't owe me that thing anymore. You're letting them off the hook. Oh, I don't want to do that. Now, I know that's the anger speaking. But you're not going to let anger control you anymore. You're going to guard your heart. You're canceling the debt. The good news is you're also letting yourself off the hook. I will not be ruled by this anger anymore, and I will not be an angry person. So when I experience this emotion of anger, I'm going to guard my heart and forgive. Number six, when we experience greed, we... Very good. Come a little closer. We give. When you experience greed, we give. We let all the scholars sit on the front row. Sit on the front row. We give. You write a big to you check. It may not be big to anybody else. You're not comparing yourself to anybody else. But whatever it is for you, you're going to deal with this greed by giving. You're going to write consistent checks. Consistently on time and a consistent percentage. I'm not just talking about to the church. It could be to other people. It could be to organizations, whatever it is. You give till you become generous. Like greed, I'm not going to let you conquer me and control me, so I'm going to keep giving till I beat you down and I guard my heart. And give away that thing that has been a blockage between you and someone else. That someone else has been competing. They've been competing on that thing for your time. Give it away or sell it. You know that thing, oh, don't touch that, or oh, I got to wash that today, and da da. I can't see you today because today's the day I spend with this thing. Might be a membership to some, you know. Get rid of it. And you'll feel so much better after you do, because now you won't have to insure it anymore. And now you won't have to buy gas for it anymore. And now you after a few days, you're like, why didn't I do that sooner? I'm not telling you to get rid of everything, but if you have an greed problem, that's what I'm saying. And number seven, You won't get this one. You'll be jealous when you hear this one because you won't know it. When we experience jealousy, we... What's that? Cut yourself off? Yeah, we're going to deal with it, though. This is how we deal with it. When we experience jealousy... I don't want you to pluck out your eyes or cut yourself off from God. This is what I want you to do. I want us to do. We... Well, that's a good one, too. You're jealous, aren't you? You don't know it. We celebrate. We celebrate. When you feel jealous, you celebrate. First of all, you celebrate what God has given you. He hasn't given you everything, but you have something. So you're thankful and you celebrate the things that you have. And secondly, you celebrate what He has given to others. Celebrate your neighbors what they have. Don't try to keep up with them. Celebrate for them. Thank God I have what I have. I'm not going to compare myself more or less with others. And I'm going to celebrate out loud what others have been given by God. And do it out loud. Write the note. Dear Bob, congratulations on the promotion that you received. As you know, I was hoping to get that promotion. But I am genuinely happy for you, and I know you will do a great job. See, my jealousy has nothing to do with my sister or my brother or my in-laws or my friends. It has everything to do with I think God or I think life owes me something that it or He did not give me. So God, whatever you give me, I receive and I celebrate. Whatever you don't give me, I surrender. That's how we guard our heart. So I ask us tonight, is everything okay with your heart? Is there any guilt that you need to deal with? Confess to someone. Are you mad? Are you obsessed with someone that you need to forgive? Have you celebrated someone's failure? How's your heart? Are you overly focused on your stuff lately? How's your heart? Deal with it before it hurts others through your actions, and deal with it before it hurts yourself. Guard your heart, because everything flows from it. Well, tonight at the table, you're going to let Jesus help you guard your heart, and you're going to forgive your Father tonight at the table. So whatever you need to do tonight at the table to guard your heart, you're going to do it here, and if there's something you need to do, one of the four things when you go out of here, He's going to give you the strength to do that tonight. So would you come, if you will, and let's let Jesus help us guard our hearts. Lord, we guard our hearts tonight with you at the table, because you're the only one who can truly change our heart from the inside out. Lord, we ask that you would fill our hearts with good things, the fruit of the Spirit. You would cover our hearts by your blood, by your life at the table of the Lord tonight. God, help us to confess guilt. God, help us to give when we feel greedy. God, help us to forgive. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive our debtors tonight. And Lord, we don't compare ourselves to brothers and sisters. We celebrate with them, and we celebrate the life that you've given us. May you apply all these things to our minds, to our hearts, to our soul. And by the blood of Jesus, by the broken body of Christ tonight, would you give us new hearts that follow closely after you, that obey you. We thank you tonight for the broken body of Christ that brings healing to our broken hearts. And life will begin to flow. Springs of living water will begin to flow. We do this in remembrance of you till you come. The body of Christ broken for you, receive in Jesus' name. What can wash away my sins, sins that are associated with guilt, sins that are associated with anger, sins that are associated with greed, sins that are associated with jealousy? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. So Lord, wash us clean tonight. We do this in remembrance of you until you come. The blood of Christ poured out for you, receive in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Because he
tonight, we honor your name. We honor you one more time. Thank you, Lord. Lord, just bless your people. Make your face shine upon every person here. Give every person here your grace. And give every person here your peace in all times and always. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.